You know, it's been, I don't know, I think I was looking the other day, it's been 5 or 6 years since the first time that I got up and decided to give a lesson. And that was due to the part of it from David, keep pushing me, which is good, and Sean helping me out with the lesson. But what really gave me the courage to get up here to finally do that was seeing Brother Zane get up and give a lesson. And he was, you know, such a young man at the time, which is, I guess he's still a young man, but he was a young man at the time. And that was encouraging to me. And it, like I said, it gave me the courage to finally decide to do that. And I think I've told him that before, but I'm not real sure. And I'm sorry he's not here today to hear that, but I guess I should tell him. And I appreciate all of his efforts and the encouragement that he gave me to do that. So I say that to bring us to our lesson. I know it's on. There it is. We're going to talk about the courage of Ananias. And we're going to go ahead and read. It's in Acts chapter 9, verse 10 through 22. We're going to go ahead and read all that, and then we'll kind of break it down and go over it a little bit. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed, and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength, and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. Well, from this text, we're going to learn how important it is for us to be courageous in the Lord, and what can result from our courage. Webster defines courage as a mental or normal strength to venture, persevere, and withstand danger, fear, or difficulty. Courage has always been an essential characteristic of God's people. For example, before Moses died, he challenged the children of Israel to have courage in Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. Be strong and of good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Joshua also encouraged them to do the same in Joshua 1, verse 6 through 7. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Also in Psalms 27:14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And finally, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 16:13, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. All of these verses teach us that we must learn to be courageous in the Lord. When we learn to be strong in the faith like this, great things can happen for the Lord's kingdom. As we examine our verses about Ananias, we're going to see why courage is so important to the Christian today. Acts chapter 9, verse 10. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, behold, I am here, Lord. The first thing we learn is that Ananias's courage caused him to be ready, because as soon as the Lord called his name, he said, I am here, Lord. His response of readiness is the same response that many other faithful men of old had as well. For example, 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 10. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here I am, send me. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. Like Ananias, these faithful men were ready to listen to the Lord's instructions, and they had the courage to carry them out. This is the same courageous attitude that we must have today, because God wants us to be ready to serve him strong in the faith. Well, for instance, we need to be ready to preach the gospel as Paul was ready to preach it. Romans chapter 1, verse 15. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. And since we're ready to preach the gospel, we must also be ready to answer questions. As Peter said in 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. There's only one way for you and I to be ready to preach the gospel and to give a defense for what we believe in, and that's by studying God's word. The more we study and learn about God's word, the easier it will be for us to find the courage to teach others and to defend our faith. We must also be ready to do good for all people. So we see in Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So when something needs to be done that will glorify God, we need to say, here I am, Lord. Use me. What can I do better? What can I do to better the kingdom of God? Acts chapter 9, verse 11 through 14. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem, and here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. The second thing we learn is that even courageous men like Ananias, who are ready to serve God, can be hesitant at times. And this can happen to the best of us from time to time. For example, you think about your own life. Have you ever wanted to talk to a loved one, but were afraid what they might think? Have you ever thought about talking to a fellow employee, but you were afraid they might get mad at you? so it stopped you from talking to them? Or have you ever been talking to your next door neighbor, maybe just shooting the breeze, and thought, I wonder if they know the Lord? But you couldn't even muster up enough courage to invite them to church. It's one thing to try to actually talk to someone about the Bible. To me, that's a little bit harder than just saying, hey, are you a Christian? You know, do you go to church anywhere? Would you like to come to church with me? That's a little bit easier because it kind of gets them in the doorway a little bit. And then to get them here around fellow Christians, that's a little bit easier to do than actually talking to them about the gospel. So I know that I've done that before, you know. I just couldn't. I felt like I should and I didn't. In my Christian life, there have been several times where I failed miserably at saying something to someone when it should have been said. But all this proves is that we're human and we make mistakes and we fall short sometimes. But as we mature in our Christianity, we must build our courage up so that we say the right things at the right times and get to the point where we're not afraid or embarrassed to do so anymore. We need to remember what Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So the next time we allow our fears to keep us from speaking to others, we need to remind ourselves that we can gain strength from God. Step back, say a little prayer, and then go for it. Because God will give us the strength to do that. And we need to realize that we may be the only hope for that person to hear God's word. You may be the only person that gets to them. Somebody else may not get to them. Someone else may do the same thing and decide not to say anything to them. Be that person that says something. As Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Now, I don't believe that Ananias was trying to neglect what God was telling him to do, but he wanted to make sure that that's what God wanted him to do, was to go talk to Saul, because Saul was known as a destroyer of all things Christian. While we should keep our faith in God even in the face of death, we should use good judgment with our lives, because sometimes there's nothing wrong with fleeing from certain situations. For example, Saul fled for his life shortly after he was converted in Acts 9. Even Jesus fled for his life on occasion and kept himself from harm's way. We see that in John chapter 8, verse 59. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. John chapter 10, verse 39. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand. John chapter 11, verse 54. Jesus therefore walked no more openly among the Jews, but went thence unto a country near to the wilderness, into a city called Ephraim, and there continued with his disciples. So we need to be realistic with our courage today and study the situation and make righteous judgments. While we must never compromise God's truth, even in face of death, we should fear God and not man. God does not expect us to lose our life or suffer great bodily harm if we can avoid it. And just as Jesus and Saul were not cowards for doing so, neither are we. So Ananias was not being a coward here. He was just making sure of the situation. I've put myself in a situation before that I wasn't really sure of. I was trying to get something from someone, and that was mine. Went into kind of a sketchy place to confront him about it. Got him outside, and everything was okay. And ended up sitting there and praying together. And it turned out all right. But there are some things that, you know, I'm not going to tell you to go into the middle of some gang members and start preaching the gospel. I mean, that's just not a wise decision, you know. Acts chapter 9, verse 15 through 18. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. So once God confirmed this, that this was the man he wanted him to go to, his courage allowed him to be receptive to God's word, and he was ready to do what was needed. When he realized that God meant what he said, he was ready to obey those instructions. While God doesn't speak directly to us today, we can find ourselves in this same situation. Sometimes we read God's word and we question it. When we start thinking with our heart, and we have a hard time understanding why God wants us to handle certain situations his way rather than our way. But we need to understand that God has more wisdom than we do, more wisdom than we could ever hope to have, and we must be courageous enough to trust in his ways. As we see in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 through 11. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. You know, I think that this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. I find myself coming back to it a lot whenever I don't understand something. You know, I don't understand why certain things happen in my life. I don't understand why this had to happen or that had to happen. I come back to this and rely on God and rely on his wisdom and not my own, because I would probably be a wreck right now if I didn't do that. Because I don't understand, but I know that he has a plan for my life, and he has the plan for everything that has gone on in my life. There's a reason for it. The writer of Proverbs says in chapter 3, verse 5 through 8, Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. This is one of the hardest things for us to do sometimes, because we think we know everything. We think we know what's best, even if God says otherwise. While there are countless examples we could look at in the Bible for the most challenging example of this comes from the time of Ezra. The Jews had been freed from their 70 years of captivity, and some of them had returned to Jerusalem to rebuild their temple walls and their lives. But there was a big problem. Some of the Jews had married pagan women and had children with them, which was against the law of Moses. In order for the children of Israel to repent and get back right with God, they needed to get back to the law of Moses. And this would mean they would have to make some changes, including their pagan wives and children. Notice what Ezra's response was in Ezra chapter 9, verse 2 through 3. For they have taken of their daughters for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands. Yea, the hand of the princes and rulers hath been chief in this trespass. And when I heard this thing, I rent my garment and my mantle, and plucked off the hair of my head and of my beard, and sat down astound. So Ezra was devastated by this news, because he knew that if the children of Israel were going to repent and get back right with God, that they would have to put away their pagan mates and their children. I don't know of any harder saying or emotion that will challenge a person's faith in God, because we're talking about putting away someone that you love. because God said it must be done. Ezra encouraged these Jews to love God first and to be courageous in their faith, and his encouragement paid off. Notice the Jews' response in Ezra chapter 10, verse 10, 3 through 4. Now, therefore, let us make a covenant with our God to put away all the wives and such as are born of them, according to the counsel of my Lord and of those that tremble at the commandment of our God, and let it be done according to the law. Arise, for this matter belongeth unto thee. We also will be with thee. Be of good courage and do it. Now, of course, there were some that were not willing to do this because it was hard. But the majority of them decided to put their emotions to the side and trust and obey God's will, even though it would be devastating to them emotionally. It takes great courage to follow God's word sometimes, especially when loved ones are involved and emotions are running high. But we are going to trust in God. But if we are going to trust in God and realize that His way is the best way, we must learn to set aside our wisdom and embrace God's wisdom, no matter how much it may hurt. As Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 10, verse 23, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Think of the courage it took for Ananias to go to Saul like God commanded. If he had relied on his own wisdom, I don't believe that he would have went. But thankfully, he trusted in God's instructions and went to Saul. You and I must follow this example and always humble ourselves before the Lord, realizing that He is in control and He knows what's best for us. As Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 37, we must love Him more than our mother, father, or our children. Acts chapter 9, verse 18 through 22, and immediately there fell from His eyes, and it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on his name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests. But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. Because of Ananias's courage, great things happened for the kingdom of God. Ananias had no idea that Saul's conversion would cause him to be one of the apostles, or that he would go on three missionary journeys and convert hundreds or possibly thousands of people to Christ. He had no idea that Saul would end up writing 13 books, 13 of the books we have in the New Testament. This one act of courage made a huge difference in the kingdom of God. Now think about this. What if Ananias had been afraid to say what Paul needed to hear? What if he had only spoken of the existence of God? What if he had preached unity and diversity? What if he had told Paul he had the right to agree to disagree? How many times have we heard that? Or have we done it ourselves? We'll just agree to disagree. What if he had said, you need to love Jesus, and just walked off? It makes me think of, you need Jesus, and then just walking off. You've heard people say that before. You need Jesus. Thankfully, Ananias had the courage to say what needed to be said, and Saul was converted. And he became the hardest working apostle there was. We need to keep this in mind because we never know what might be the results of our courage to speak to those around us. You may convert someone that God will bless, and they may lead hundreds or thousands to Christ. So don't ever underestimate what your courage may produce for the Lord. We just need to have the attitude that Paul did in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5 through 7. Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. You plant that seed, it's going to get watered, and God's going to give the increase. Now, in conclusion, we've learned by studying the life of Ananias, we can see the kind of courage that pleases God. We need to be patient and tactful, but we also need to be courageous. Elders need courage to contend and stand for God's truth. Preachers need courage to open their mouths and preach the gospel. Members need courage to support elders and preachers in the proclamation of the truth. It takes courage to break away from whatever is keeping us from Christ. I think that was the last one. So today, I hope that y'all have learned how to be courageous in Christ and to stay in the faith. And I would ask that if you're ready to be courageous, if you're ready to have that courage in Christ, you come forward today. Maybe you're a Christian and you've lost your courage. Maybe you've let some sin get in between you and Christ, and it's kept you from saying something to someone because you think, how can I talk to them about Christ when I got this sin in my life? And you let that stay between you and doing that. Well, give it up to God. Give it up to Christ. Repent of your sins.